Well, good morning, everyone. Father, what an honor it is to gather once again this morning and just to be able to come to you, knowing that you are with us and that you've invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace. With a true heart and full assurance of faith, we are to come. And so here we are, Lord. We want to just bow down and worship you and honor you this day as we look at another prayer in the Bible, and then as we spend time in prayer this morning. So may you be our special guest. May we sense your presence in a very near way. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's just getting into it a little bit, Amazing Grace, and then we'll get into a prayer in Ephesians 3, but Amazing Grace.
I once was lost.
Well, last week we had the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, that prayer that our eyes would be enlightened, that we would see with our whole heart more of our Lord and of the gifts which He has given us, having gifted us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places and really so much more. And right after that prayer, then he immediately went in to the fact that we're saved by grace through faith that we just sang about. And he said, you he made alive. And he goes on down now talking about the fact that the blood of Christ has brought the Jew and the Gentile together. And in verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, but now, and of course there's now used six times in this section right here, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And in verse 15, Jesus, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So he's stressing here the fact that through Jesus Christ there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. And that's what he refers to as the mystery of the church. The mystery that had not, it's a mystery because it had not been revealed in the Old Testament. It was not revealed until now in the New Testament after the Messiah had come. And verse 19 we read in chapter 2, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. And he's writing to Gentile believers primarily, Jew and Gentile, but primarily Gentile. They're one now. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief corner, in whom the whole building becomes fitted together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So that's the basis of what he's teaching here in chapter 2, and then we go right on into chapter 3, and he says, for this reason, for that reason of the two being brought together, of the mystery of the church, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ. So he's mentioning to them to pray for him, basically, but that he's a prisoner, and he's a prisoner willingly, and he goes on to talk about that. And he says in verse 8 of chapter 3, to me who am less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things in through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. And he goes on and he says, verse 13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. So that's the background of this prayer of thanksgiving now. And this prayer is going to be for the enablement of us to not only recognize the gifts, not only be enlightened by all he's done for us, but to be embodied by them and to enable us to do what he wants us to do with these gifts, so to speak. And so we go on in to verse 14, for this reason, we just talked about that reason, I bow my knees. Now, if you're not impaired, I'd like for us all to bow our knees. And as we bow our knees, as we bow down, just sense the feeling of humility as you bow down. Now, we're bowing down to the Lord. But here Paul says, I bow my knees. So I'm going to bow mine. If you want to bow together, do so. If you want to just stay in the chair, that's all right. The position of the body is not critical. But it's interesting just to sense the feeling of bowing our knees. And here Paul is saying, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we are this morning bowing our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family, Jew, Gentile, Scythian, slave, male, female, all one, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, and the first that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay, and now you may be seated if you would like. However position you want to stay in that position, you may. So, what is this prayer all about? Well, he's addressing, of course, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that through Christ we've all become one, the whole family. And now it's the first that we have in this prayer in verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Notice the granting according to or and through the riches of his glory. And so the riches of his glory are unbelievable, uncalculable, unlimited. But that's what he's asking for, that the Father would grant us, the believers, according to the riches of his glory, what? To be strengthened. Now, this is not an ad for the gym at down at 24 hours and open. This is to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in what? In the inner man. We need strengthening in the inner man. That's the purpose of the prayer here as we begin, that we would be strengthened with might through his Spirit in our innermost being, in the inner man, according to the riches of his glory. So that's quite a prayer. These prayers here, all of these things in this prayer, are beyond human capability totally, because there's no human capability. We can't try to get any of these things and receive them. We can't. It has to be given to us. But he's praying that we would be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. There's a second that. Why? Why be strengthened? Well, he's saying, number one, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he's praying that we would be strengthened, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And you may say, well, I don't need too much strength here. Christ is in my heart, no question about it. But you know, when the trials come, and they will come, and the disappointments come in like a flood, and everywhere you look is hopelessness, all of a sudden your faith in Christ may not be so strong as you think it is here this morning. But we want to be strong in the inner man, right? We want to be strong in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And then the second that, that you being rooted and grounded in love. A couple of interesting terms there. Rooted, just think of a big sequoia tree or any big tree that is rooted. It's going to have roots that go down, in some cases, as deep as the tree is high. And they will spread all the way out. Now, this tree that's rooted like that will stand. You're not going to knock it down, no matter how much it winds. You might break it off, but you're not going to knock it down because the roots are strong, right? So we want to be strong, rooted, and then grounded. Grounded is the term that you would give to a building after you build it. And you know, it settles a while and you start getting little cracks here and there because of the settling. But once it's settled, unless you have an earthquake, once it's settled, it'll stay there. It's settled down. Settled down. So we want to be rooted and settled down, what? In love. In love. If you can get your eyes and ears and heart around that one. And then why? That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. This is for a prayer of comprehension here, that we could comprehend with the whole body of Christ, what? Some dimensions here. Dimensions of width, length, depth, and height. Some have said you can't comprehend this, but you can think of the cross. You can think of the cross in four dimensions, really. The width, wide enough for everyone. Jesus paid the price for all men's sin, wide enough. And then that it is long enough, it's long enough to reach all nations. It's deep enough to reach even the most ungodly, unholy sinners that there are. And its height reaches all the way to heaven. And so the love of God, we may know What is the width and length and depth and height? And then another reason for this enablement is to know, again, that's gnosko, to know the love of Christ which passes knowing. Now, how do you know something that passes knowing? Well, that word passes there is kind of interesting, and it gives us a clue, I think, to what the main reason of this statement is. That word passes means to exceed beyond the norm or the goal. In other words, how much can we learn? We learn all we can learn, our goal in learning, but the love of Christ goes beyond that. It goes beyond that, and it goes beyond human comprehension. So he wants us to, through experience and through the closeness with Christ, to grow in knowing this love. I mean, we can study it all day long. We can read commentaries all day long. We can get 4 PhDs all day long and have all the knowledge, but the love of Christ is beyond that. It's beyond that. And so what he's praying for you and for me is to know that love of Christ in a very internal, intimate level, not something in the brain, really. Yes, there's brain involved, but it's really something in the heart, right? You really got that love of Christ in your heart. And so he's praying that we would comprehend that love of Christ, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and then that again, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, how can you be filled with all the fullness of God? Can you imagine what the fullness of God is? If Solomon said that God is so big the heaven of heavens cannot hold him, let alone this temple, how can something that big be filled in you? Well, it can't physically, in a sense, if you look in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, yes, because that's what he wants. He wants us to have the fullness of him. He wants us to be filled with Christ, right? Full of Christ, not and emptied of self. So we want to empty ourselves and be full of him. And then he just goes right into a doxology, can't contain himself really any longer, in a sense, it seems. He says, now to him, to God, who is what? Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Now notice that we got so many adjectives there and so many statements there. If you just had one of those, it would be awesome. If we just said to him who is able to do all we ask or think. Now wouldn't that be something? But it says to do exceedingly. And not only exceedingly, but abundantly. So it's to do exceedingly abundantly above all. Now that gets beyond the dimensions again of physical understanding. What is exceedingly abundantly? That's it. That's the ultimate in a sense. I mean that's all of it in a way. That we may be able to do all and above that we ask or think. So whatever you ask, no matter what you ask, he's able to do more than that. No matter what you think, how high you can think, he's able to do more than that. Why? According to the power. According to the power. It doesn't say according to his distant power. It says according to the power. His power what? That works in us. And that's working in you and me through the Holy Spirit, inside out. You know, you can think back probably through, not that we know all of them, but hundreds of millions of examples over history of lives being changed so radically from the inside out through the power of the Spirit, right? And this room has got, what have we got here, 20 or so, 15 examples of that right here in our own lives, right? Look back to where you were. Look at where you are now. It's not because you're great. It's not because of anything you've done. It's because of what he's done, right? And because of his power that he's given us. And then the final statement in verse 21, to him be glory in the church. Now the church is everybody. The church is Jew, Gentile, Scythian, slave, free, male, female, no difference. The church is the whole family of God here. So to him be glory how and where? In the body of Christ. The body of Christ is so important. So let's pray for the bride. Let's pray for the body of Christ because he loves it so much. I mean, for years and even now, at times I get kind of disappointed with the church and I get kind of cynical with the church and oh, they can't get along, and blah, 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 blah. But he loves his bride. And so rather than getting cynical, we should be praying for it. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Wow, no end to that. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Quite a prayer, isn't it? It's just beyond reason. So spend some time today, each day, this week, just appreciating all that's packed into Ephesians here in the first four chapters. We go on fifth and sixth or more application chapters, but this is just such a rich prayer, and pray it. And if you think you've prayed enough for yourself, then put others' names in there to pray for specifically. Put a name in there, that's fine. Whereas it says that he would grant you, let's say that he would grant Phil. You can all just put Phil down there. That he would grant Phil, according to, well, you don't have to be that selfish, but you know, put whoever you want to put in there and just pray for them that they may receive all these things that Paul is praying for. Because he's praying for us, isn't he, the believers? He's praying for each one of us. So this is a direct application here to that. Well, Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this beautiful prayer. And Lord, we just humbly bow down to you now, really. And we want to just make our petitions, our intercessions, and lead us in this time of prayer, Holy Spirit. And may we follow your lead, thereby we will be praying in one accord. We'll be praying as one, as your objective for the body of Christ is to be in unity, is to be as one body. So may we pray as one body now, as we lift up what you put in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.